answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
On this very floor in January, the whole world witnessed a historic contest for House Speaker. I rise today to serve notice. Mr. Speaker, you are out of compliance with the agreement that allowed you to assume this role. The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair.
Those are the words of Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz as to what he thinks McCarthy, House Speaker, should be doing, and that is be removed, because he does not think he's doing the job he should be doing. We're going to get into that in more detail as we move forward. Here we are, September 13, 2023. This is the second hour of Larry Connors USA. Video of the show, of course, streaming at News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. And if you miss anything, you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and you'll find the programs, video and audio, available for you. Again, I encourage you to share them with others. And many of you are doing so, and I appreciate it, because you're helping get the word out to more and more people. And I'm telling you, as we move through the next few months and closer to the 2024 election, you don't want to miss any part of this program. So you can also subscribe for free. We'll send it to you. It won't cost you a thing. And we do not share your information. Well, of course, just yesterday, McCarthy had announced he's going to have an impeachment inquiry. That's not actually opening the impeachment. It's a preliminary step, which for many seems to be the appropriate way to go. I tend to think that. But for some, it's just their patience is wearing thin. They want something done right away. And that's why we'll be coming back to Matt Gaetz later on how angry he and members of the House Freedom Caucus are, and why they're fighting McCarthy now inside the Republican Party, which has got to be making Democrats just gleeful. Now, one of those Democrats would be House Minority Leader Jeffries. And he talked about what they are going to be doing and what their plans are.
We were sent to Washington, D.C. to improve the quality of life of everyday Americans. The extreme MAGA Republicans are determined to illegitimately investigate the president as part of an ideological crusade that week after week after week continues to do nothing more than try and jam their extreme right-wing ideology down the throats of the American people.
Well, you know, I kind of flash back, and you have to help me remember, was there somebody the Democrats were trying to do that to for months on end? I'm sitting here trying to recall the name. I think he's still prominent. They didn't get rid of him. They were not able to impeach him. Oh, we're talking about Trump. Let me give you the timeline of it. They were trying to look at and indicting him and finding out what they could do about him. And they continue now. I mean, I really want to pick up just that time, because they still are going after him and indicting him for mishandling of classified documents, the first president in history to face this charge. And the Democrats think there's nothing wrong with it, and there's nothing wrong with the fact that Joe Biden obviously was breaking the same laws, because he had documents everywhere, not even under seal and cover, and there were classified documents inside those. And there was nothing wrong with Hillary Clinton using a private email server when she knew as a government official You're not supposed to have anything outside the system because it would be subject to being attacked and hacked. And she's using different phones and then bleach bit them and beat them to death with a hammer, had someone do it. And we've heard recently that Hunter Biden has given Daddy one, maybe more, burner phone so he could call him and get Daddy right away on the phone. So looking at those are legitimate questions. They're far from the stuff that they were trying to come up with on Trump, Russian collusion, which obviously was a farce. We all know it. You can't deny it. You want to deny it? You cannot find me one fact that supports the case. The Mueller investigation concluded, the Horowitz, deciding that basically the FBI initiated an investigation without evidence of a crime. They were just moving forward. It was political marching orders. But now that the attack is coming after Joe Biden, Jeffries will tell you that we're all in. We're all in for him.
President Joe Biden is a good man. He's an honest man. He's a patriotic man. House Democrats will defend President Biden today. We will defend President Biden tomorrow. We will defend President Biden next week. We will defend President Biden next month. We will defend President Biden next year. We will defend President Biden until the very end.
And what will be the very end? I don't know. Maybe God does. I don't know. But he says, we're all in. We're playing poker. We're all in. We committed all of our chips into this. So he says Biden is a good, decent man, an honorable man. That's a far cry from what we heard Congressman Kevin McCarthy, House Speaker, say yesterday.
House Republicans have uncovered serious and credible allegations into President Biden's conduct. Taken together, these allegations paint a picture of a culture of corruption. Now, here's what we know so far. Through our investigations, we have found that President Biden did lie to the American people about his own knowledge of his family's foreign business dealings. Eyewitnesses have testified that the president joined on multiple phone calls and had multiple interactions. Dinners resulted in cars and millions of dollars into his son's and his son's business partners.
And that has been documented. It's not just say so. They've documented it. And they've heard from witnesses who testify to it. Now, you could question the value of the witnesses, the credibility. But so far, no one has denied it, not even in the White House. They don't deny it. They put nothing out at all to say that that's not true. And if, let me put it this way. If you were the target of such attacks and you knew it was not true, would you not say, it ain't true, and here's how I can prove it? Or would you just sit there and let them walk over you? Maybe not even a whimper. So Jeffries, on behalf of the Democrats, say Biden is an honorable, truthful man. McCarthy says we found evidence he's been lying to us over and over again on everything. But again, Jeffries tries to hone in on what's they're trying to make the key point, because it was used against them when they were trying to nail Donald Trump. And now, well, let's take a page from the Republican playbook.
Extreme MAGA Republicans have launched an illegitimate impeachment inquiry that is a kangaroo court, fishing expedition, and conspiracy theater rolled into one. There is not a shred of evidence that President Joe Biden has engaged in wrongdoing. There is not a shred of evidence that President Joe Biden has committed an impeachable offense. There is not a shred of evidence that President Joe Biden has committed a crime. This is an illegitimate impeachment inquiry. Period. Full stop. It's a waste of time and taxpayer dollars.
Yeah, of course, you're going to come back to that. And I have exceptions with some of his remarks. I'll give you my thoughts on that in a moment. But Morning Joe Scarborough, now with MSNBC, is rushing to the defense of Biden and again saying, where's the proof?
Nobody's got any evidence at all. None at all. You've got some text messages. I'd love to know what the text messages mean. I'd love to get people under oath. I'd love to have them talking. That's what investigations are for. So investigate. That's what criminal proceedings are for. Let those criminal proceedings go forward. And if there are any crimes, you know what? Let the chips fall where they may. But again, I keep going back to the Wall Street Journal editorial page. No fan of Joe Biden. That's for sure. They attack him every day. But they even said of Comer, oh, you got to hear some smoke. You got nothing else.
That's reference to monies going to the Biden family. And if it was a part of a quid pro quo, reference Joe Biden when he's VP. But I'm telling you, I still see impeachable offenses. For one, and the most paramount for our nation, he took an oath of duty when he became president, commander-in-chief, to protect our nation from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we have thrown open the gate saying, we're not going to be stopping anybody from coming in. And we know the disaster is there. They're bringing in drugs. They're smuggling in children. This is all on Biden's watch. He will not be around to answer all of those charges. Or not capable of answering. But the damage has been done. And who knows how many sleeper cells are now inside our country. A fifth column of the Chinese, possibly, or other Middle East terrorists, jihadists, came in from all over the world. We had 150 different nations identified crossing our border. To me, that's an impeachable offense. Put all the other stuff about the monies and everything else aside. Start with that one. Then you can also add in as to how we abandon Afghanistan. All right, but there is a battle going on inside the Republican Party. And inside the Republican Party, it's getting more and more nasty.
On this very floor in January, the whole world witnessed a historic contest for House Speaker. I rise today to serve notice. Mr. Speaker, you are out of compliance with the agreement that allowed you to assume this role. The path forward for the House of Representatives is to either bring you into immediate total compliance or remove you pursuant to a motion to vacate the chair.
Well, to vacate the chair or to force him out, that's an option. I want to remind you again how contentious it was for McCarthy to ever be elected. There were 15 ballots taken. He needed 216 votes to become the House chair to hold the gavel. 15 ballots over 4 days. 212 ballots on that 15th ballot. 212 votes went for House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries to become the House Speaker, even though it's Republicans controlling it. He got his 216th, the one vote that he needed to put him over the top, from the very man now that's complaining against him, Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida, and he's got issues with McCarthy.
We have had no vote on term limits or on balanced budgets as the agreement demanded and required. There's been no full release of the January 6 tapes as you promised. There has been insufficient accountability for the Biden crime family. And instead of cutting spending to raise the debt limit, you relied on budgetary gimmicks and rescissions so that you ultimately ended up serving as the valet to underwrite Biden's debt and advance his spending agenda.
That is a very harsh criticism. You're the valet for Joe Biden's spending habits. And they continue to spend. And if our country is in such dire straits, why are we again ready to approve another $12+ billion for Ukraine? And of course, there's already talk that, yeah, we're probably not going to get all the 11 bills completed by the end of the month, so we'll have to have a CCR, a continuing resolution. That's what we don't like, because it just kicks the can down the road and ends up being another way to pad the accounts going forward. And that apparently is where we're going to go at this point. And obviously it's not going to make the House Conservative Caucus happy. In fact, they've already indicated we're not going to be supporting a continuing resolution to finance the country. Let us shut the country down. Now, of course, the attitude of many is that, well, if the country is shut down, all the blame is going to fall on the Republicans. Maybe so. But is it really going to hurt any more than what we're going through now? And I'll remind you that all the employees of the federal government who are laid off, if they're not considered essential, will still end up getting all their money. Some services may not be available if they're not essential, but no big deal. In fact, the last time we had one, it really gave us pause to think that, do we really need all these people in our government? The answer was no. But Gates is going farther than just complaining about the leadership points that supposedly McCarthy agreed to so he could get the vote. Gates already accused him of backing down and not doing what he said he was going to. And then when he does come up yesterday, McCarthy, and say, we are going to have an impeachment inquiry, there were already rumors and shouts from the left. He's being forced into it because they're holding him hostage.
We demand real oversight against this weaponized government. Just look at the bribery. If tens of millions of dollars flowing from foreign corrupt people into the bank accounts of the Biden family wasn't enough for actual impeachment, why were we even looking? Joe Biden deserves impeachment for converting the vice presidency into an ATM machine for virtually his entire family. We all see it. We all know it. Now, moments ago, Speaker McCarthy endorsed an impeachment inquiry. This is a baby step following weeks of pressure from House conservatives to do more. We must move faster.
Must move faster. And we're going to see how that plays out, because this also could be part of the play in 2024. If the Republicans have a chance to win, they might be shooting themselves in the foot at this point. Coming up, we want to look again about how the Freedom Caucus is fighting against the way things have been run by McCarthy. Stand by, please. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
This isn't about political revenge. We have the bank accounts. We can see, ma'am, you can see that the homes that the Bidens own can't be afforded on a congressional or Senate salary. You also understand that it's not normal for family members to receive millions of dollars from overseas interest. Those things aren't normal. That's not normal to have 20 shell companies. These things are not normal, and it alludes to not only just widespread corruption, but money laundering, if not influence peddling itself. And we also have the president, the vice president at the time, on record saying that the prosecutor was fired. Well, son of a bitch. The prosecutor was fired, right? Because the prosecutor was going after the company that his son was working on. That's what we have. If you can't see that, if you are that blunt, look, I'll turn it over to your attorney.
The American people can't see that. They think it's political revenge.
It's because you don't report on it.
But, sir, the American people don't see it because you don't report on it. Boy, did he nail her back, and I'm glad he did. Because he was trying to explain, look at everything in front of you. We already heard earlier from Morning Joe saying, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? And the Wall Street Journal saying there's smoke, but there's no evidence. Nothing specific tying direct to Joe Biden. I'll accept that. But as he said, how can you ignore all the rest of this? That was Congressman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, member of the House Freedom Caucus. The House Freedom Caucus has been strong backed and refusing to budge much at all. When Matt Gaetz gave his vote for Kevin McCarthy to become House Speaker, he did it on the basis that McCarthy made all these promises to the House Freedom Caucus of what he was going to do, as you were hearing in the previous segment. Because they wanted certain concessions out of him. 15 votes over a 4-day period to get McCarthy elected. He thought he was going to breeze in. I thought he was probably going to not have a difficult time, but it became tougher and tougher. And part of it had to do with the Freedom Caucus pushing for better answers, a full investigation into the Bidens, and quit ending up basically looking for ways to make it easier to make our budget bigger and bigger. And apparently he kind of agreed. To what extent, I don't know. I don't know if it's anything in writing or what, but they said, okay, we'll make you speaker. And Gaetz crossed the line and gave him that one vote that made him speaker. So now Gaetz and his credibility is on the line. That's why he was standing on the House floor, as we said a moment ago, complaining about the things that have not been done, including not getting a budget prepared well enough in advance. Now, part of that comes down to Biden and Schumer would not hold negotiations with McCarthy on a budget. They knew what they were doing. They were playing him. Did McCarthy not realize that? Or did he know it but thought, well, we'll still get around it? September 30 coming. We're not going to have everything passed. A continuing resolution might be the option. Then you get onto all the other issues about the Biden, as you were hearing Gates go after him, saying, we have, at the time of this, at the stage of where we are with the Biden inquiry, they already had Donald Trump Jr. in front of them questioning him. What have we done? Why haven't we gotten subpoenas and gotten busy on it? The Freedom Caucus is generally consisting of the most conservative and farthest right members of the House. It includes Marjorie Taylor Greene. And, of course, those who love to pick on her and Gates, they say they're all MAGA people, as if Trump owns the term MAGA. And MAGA, the original intent and meaning is, make America great again. How can you be against that? Except that it's been appropriated and possibly abused by some on the far right. And they love it. They're happy to be doing it. It does not bode well for the country in general, nor for conservatives in general. You can be a conservative, but you're not willing to go certain levels that others are. Whether or not that includes a possible January 6th event, a lot of conservatives I know would want nothing to do with that. And I've said it was an unpatriotic event, but it was not a revolution. It was not an overthrow of the government. And Trump has yet to be tied directly to that. You hear all this talk and complain and concern about, where's the proof that Biden is involved in any of the money dealings? Well, the money went to all of his family members, and he had even written on his laptop, some goes to dad, the big guy, and then he had told his sister that, I'll be able to give you more money now. And even one of the Biden grandchildren are involved in receiving money. What did they do to earn the money? That's the bottom line. What did any of these people do to earn the money other than create access to Biden and make Biden part of what you're doing? If you don't suspect that something's wrong there, you're just too naive. You really are. And I'm not saying you have to be a Trump denier or a progressive or left to not think there's something issue. You can be a true conservative and say, there's something there. And you can be a true liberal and say, this is not going down the way it should. Somebody mentioned to me the other day, I think the biggest problem we have in the country, they said, is that people still have their tribes. And once you're in their tribe, they don't want to go outside the boundaries of the tribe, but they won't. They fear that they'll be cut off. So when you had the Pennsylvania Congressman Perry, member of the House Freedom Caucus, talking to him, to the reporter, saying, this is not about revenge. We're trying to right and bring justice. And the reporter said, but people don't see that. Said, well, because you're not telling them. And he stepped aside, and he allowed the attorney representing the Freedom Caucus some remarks. You're going to like this.
If you're a federal prosecutor, you would be asking yourself, how can there not have been an indictment for a FARA violation against Hunter Biden? How can there possibly, my understanding and discussions with staff have confirmed my impulse that this would be very much the basis of a Foreign Corrupt Practices Act investigation, given the circumstances that we know. The question is, you know, it's funny. After we come out of the events of, that John Durham, for example, testified to our committees about how investigations proceeded through our investigative agencies without proper predication, it's not that you have to prove the case. It's not that, you understand, to this point, there's not been a single subpoena to a Hunter Biden bank account or a Joe Biden bank account or any other Biden family member's bank account. Because until an impeachment inquiry commences, that's not a jurisdictional possibility. Well, it would be stretching jurisdiction to do that. But there's ample predication at this point in time based on that very unusual set of circumstances, which is for no apparent payment for expertise or services rendered Biden family members writ large received over $20 million.
That we know of.
That we know of.
It is very simple for someone just to insist there's an absence of evidence. But you, if you can look in the face of that and contend that, that's, you know, anyone has a right to their opinion. What they can't do is change the facts.
Can't change the facts. And the facts of the money transfers, and they're documented on bank records. Comer has a background in banking, so he knows how to check the records and what to find. There is a Democrat now being quoted in Politico, Congressman Dean Phillips of Minnesota. And in light of Speaker McCarthy directing the House to open in the impeachment inquiry into the president, the response from Congressman Phillips of Minnesota on X, do I have to say the platform formerly known as Twitter again, or can I just say Twitter X, let it go, I don't know. He suggests, in fact, he writes, the evidence suggests Hunter Biden is guilty of unethical and or illegal behavior. The evidence suggests that Joe Biden is guilty of absolutely nothing more than being a father. That is, again, Congressman Phillips of Minnesota. In other words, indicating, like many Democrats, I'm not interested in defending Hunter that much, but they will back the president. A New York Times article I was referring to earlier. Let me go back to it again. According to the New York Times, Hunter Biden has been the president's informal advisor. So let me ask you this. If you're going to buy, and if Phillips is buying the statement he just said, that there's evidence Hunter Biden is guilty of unethical, illegal behavior, and he's the advisor to his daddy, you don't think there was a crossing of lines there? In fact, the report reads from the New York Times, Mr. Biden's devotion to his son means that he has long followed Hunter's lead. Well, you just... this Democrat just admitted Hunter Biden is guilty of unethical, illegal behavior. And the New York Times says President Biden's devotion to his son means he has long followed his lead. Allies of the president, deep respect for that bond, but privately criticizing Biden, apparently inability to say no when Hunter sought to pull him into business dealings. So in other words, for New York Times, he was aware of them, and he did not say, no, I'm not going to be part of it. Oh, I think we may have another issue. Coming up, Senator Kennedy of Louisiana on what should be available in public libraries for kids. Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com, AllenOutdoorSTL.com, or call 314-647-4800, AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. He drink whiskey, watch or drink the wine.
This
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
What are you asking us to do? Are you suggesting that only librarians should decide whether the two books that I just referenced should be available to kids? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay. Tell me what you're saying.
Well, first of all, there's this...
Don't give me a speech. Tell me what you're asking me to do.
With all due respect, Senator, the words you spoke are disturbing, especially coming out of your mouth is very disturbing. But I would also tell you that we're not advocating for kids to read porn, to Senator Booker's
what
point.
What are you advocating for?
We are advocating for parents, random parents, not to have the ability, under the guise of keeping kids safe, to try and challenge the world view of every single manner on these issues.
You're getting conceptual again.
I'm not getting conceptual.
Well, yes, you are, because I want to know what you're recommending. It sounds to me like what some of you are saying, the librarians should decide who gets to see that book.
I'm saying when individual parents are allowed to make a decision of where that line is, and To Kill a Mockingbird, which involves a rape scene, should that book be pulled from our libraries? I think it becomes a slippery slope.
I think you ought to think about it a little bit more before you come here.
I've thought about, Senator.
If you're going to propose something, you ought to be able, in 30 seconds, to be able to explain what you're asking us to do.
Yeah, I would agree fully. That is Senator Kennedy, Louisiana. In the last hour, our first hour, I did take some cuts of what he read from each of those books, and they're extremely graphic. And even what we put on the air, we censored some stuff out. And so when you hear this Secretary of State of Illinois, who he is talking to, saying, I found that uncomfortable even listening to you read them, I would imagine it's uncomfortable for the senator to read them. But he's trying to say, my first response, you're uncomfortable? What do you think about parents when they see that their kids are reading them? Or the kids are reading them and they have no idea what it really means? Other than maybe being groomed for homosexual activities or anything of that nature. And then the example that the principal comes back to, saying, well, we want to make sure that certain parents don't, you know, have the ability to shut a book down. But what do you mean by certain parents? Certain parents that don't agree with your philosophy are parents who are concerned about their children. And when you want to point out, To Kill a Mockingbird, they don't want it in there because it has a rape scene. You're not being truthful. You're not being truthful. To Kill a Mockingbird, for many of the minority community, is not liked either because it talks about the way things were in the South. Same thing with Gone with the Wind. They don't want to go back through it again. They don't want it rehashed. They don't want any of the statues or memorials, anything else up like that. There's nothing to do with book burning, book banning. In those cases, it involved tearing down statues, but this is not book burning or banning. This is an issue of age appropriation. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy was raising the question for Alexei Giannoulias, the Illinois Secretary of State. I probably butchered the name. I'm sorry. Truly, I did not intend to. But he's been leading efforts in the state of Illinois to prevent parents from banning material they consider inappropriate for children, that the content would be disturbing. And even he admitted, listening to Kennedy read from some of these books, it was disturbing. In fact, his quote, I'll read for you here again. With all due respect, Senator, the words you spoke are disturbing, especially coming out of your mouth. It's very disturbing. So you don't think it's disturbing for a child to read the same book, the same material? Well, they've been trying to push forward on it, and when it comes to understanding this is not an effort to ban books or burn books, but make them age appropriate. Giannoulias talks about that, how he was raised and when he came to the country.
My parents were immigrants, came to this country. We never checked out books without our parents seeing what books we were reading. They encourage us to read books.
Mr. Secretary, I understand this is good for your politics back home.
It's got nothing to do with my politics. My bill is passed.
Of course it does. It has everything to do with your politics.
I'm here to...
But you came here with a problem, and I'm trying to understand the solution, and you don't have one.
We solve the solution.
Other than to tell us that we don't agree with you, you're on the wrong... We'll be on the wrong side of history.
We solved the problem in Illinois. We fixed it. Because we
well, there are others you could work on.
Well, that's why I'm here
to help. Thank you, Mr. Chairman,
to help other states make these decisions.
So Illinois is now holding itself up as an example of how states should deal with books in the library system. Really, those who live in Illinois, do you accept those statements? And what's in your school's library and at the public library that kids, young kids, can check out? When I was in high school, I was one of maybe three students allowed to read Catcher in the Rye. I didn't really know much about it. I was told at the time it was an important piece of fiction. And I was allowed to read it, but I had to keep control of it and then turn it back in. And there were a couple other students. They just felt that we were mature enough that we could read it and come away with something with it. I think for a while, Animal Farm was also kept in the same context, that you had to be a certain age or showing maturity in your reading ability and or your grades to be able to get it. I may be wrong about that. But the two books that the senator was reading from, one was called All Boys Aren't Blue, and it involved two boys beginning to experiment with each other and using equipment. Another is called Gender Queer, which also does similar thing. Whether or not they're children or not, it's not clear in this reading. But there was a student appearing in front of Kennedy there with the Illinois Secretary of State. This is Cameron Samuels, who's a student of the LGBT community. And he did acknowledge parents should be involved in deciding which books their children should read, but still kind of wishy-washy.
I'm asking you, how do we decide whether the two books that I just referenced should be available in the library? What would you, if you were running things, what would you do?
All Boys Aren't Blue, the scene you mentioned, is about sexual abuse.
I know what it's about.
It's not
erotic. What would you do in terms of making the books available? Would you say anybody can see them, or they have to be in a special session?
Students who do not read books like All Boys Aren't Blue cannot learn what is appropriate.
I understand that.
They cannot learn
about abuse. I understand, but none of you want to answer my question. You come here and you say censorship is bad, and of course it's bad. But the obvious response is, okay, you heard the books we're talking about. Okay, we're not talking about Catcher in the Rye. So tell me what you want, who gets to decide. And all I've heard is the librarians. And parents have nothing to do with it. And if that's your response, what planet did you just parachute in from?
Parents, Senator.
Or what country, more appropriately? This is not China.
Not China. The student was trying to say, and the senator made it very clear, I know what it's about. The scene he read, according to the student, said it's really about sexual abuse. It's not erotic. But the bottom line still is, what are you going to do about it? It's not going to be resolved overnight, but parents, you need to be aware and checking your school library and public libraries and what is being allowed to be checked out. Turning the corner, when you look at the economy, according to one report out of the Census Bureau, things have not been this bad since Biden was Obama's vice president. The Census Bureau releasing calculations for the change in real median household incomes for last year. And by its calculations, the median income of U.S. households fell in 2022 by 2.3%. The worst decline since 2010. Does that affect you? Is it true with you? I'm willing to bet that most of it is true. Now, using those figures, Breitbart wrote a piece dealing with it by their economic analyst, I should say. It adds that history may not necessarily repeat or even rhyme, but it certainly rings a bell on occasion. The last time household income suffered a decline as large as it did, and the second year of Joe Biden's presidency was in the second year of Biden's vice presidency. If you recall, though, at the time Obama kept saying, no, it's Bush, he did it. He left it a mess. He went through 4 years saying it was, at some point, do you not take responsibility? They never heard Harry Truman. The buck stops here. Then he adds that all of this is before taxes. Once you calculate in changes to the taxes paid, subsidies handed out, household income fell 8.8%. And a lot of that had to do with the lapsing of the Biden administration's pandemic rescue policies, child tax credits, the supersized earned income tax credit. It pumped up incomes and contributed to the worst inflation in decades. And then when you look at part-time and full-time workers, their overall earnings declining 2.2%. In other words, there was nothing in there that was going to be looking better for them as they moved forward. If you dig deeper, they point out that family household income actually fell by even more when you get down to it, something like 2.9%. Then you got the chaos at the southern border. That's not helping our Americans earn better incomes. Native-born incomes falling 2.5%. Incomes down across the country. The hardest hit, the Midwest. Income falling by a stunning 4.7%. In the Northeast, where Biden dominated the electoral results, median household income falling 3.8%. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you, but they're all down. There's nothing positive. Even in the dark blue states, they've suffered. And in the West, which would include California, it all fell 3.2%. If you're looking for any positive uptick, it's in the South, but up only 0.1%. And again, the Biden administration wants you to believe this is all the cruelty of Republicans who refuse to continue his American Rescue Plan welfare measures. Or as I say, the American Comedy Act, just like his other was. But apparently never did much to reduce child poverty in the first place. It just papered it over by sending checks to extremely low-income households. And suddenly the impoverished kids seem to be impoverished again when you take them away. There's nothing to help them learn and educate and get up the ladder by themselves with some help, maybe. As you well know, they're already talking about we got a new COVID variant. We're going to have flu season coming on. We also have a respiratory disease circulating. And now the CDC is making it official. COVID-19 vaccines are available today. New shots from Moderna and Pfizer BioNTech coming just as the fall and winter respiratory virus season. They say, like all the other COVID-19 vaccines, the updated version is not designed to prevent infection completely. Well, in other words, they knew the other wasn't either. But now they're trying to tell you, oh, we didn't design it to stop it completely. Well, we were told at that time it was, correct? Yes. Remember Rachel Maddow? It's simple. You get the shot, you get the jab, you get COVID, it stops there. It stops. You raise the question then that, well, why are people getting COVID afterwards, including the president? Well, then they had to admit it wasn't really working as effectively. So they're coming out right now and saying, the updated version is not designed to prevent infection completely, but it's meant to reduce the severity of symptoms and curb the risk of long COVID. How would they know? They don't know. They don't know if it's going to reduce the risk of long COVID, because how many years have they tested to find out if it stops long COVID? They don't know. It might reduce severity. It might induce other issues for you. They're saying the variant that originally the shots were designed to target were dominant when they began to formulate and test the new version. That variant is no longer dominant, only accounts for about 3% of the cases. 3%. But CDC experts say the vaccine should still be effective at preventing severe infection. So here we are again. This is climate change in the world of COVID. Climate's going to change. It's going to get hot. Going to get real hot. And then it may get real cold. And it's got to be blamed on something. And if you get COVID and you got the shot, well, it didn't really apply to you this time. Glad you got the shot. Or you don't get the shot and you get the COVID. See, we told you you should have gotten it. But they're looking at already, we have hospitalizations supposedly rising, but way below the number of the pandemic. Infections not really surging. More than 95% of the U.S. population already has some level of COVID immunity, whether from vaccine, infection, or both. So now they're going to be available again. And this time you could end up having to pay if you don't have insurance. Pfizer, $120 per dose. Moderna, $129. So much for protecting the public instead of fattening the wallets of the farmer. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.